AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
The board is bad and Rogers is bad.
It's Halloween week and nightmare on Kerrydale Street.
If Rangers had got off to a good start, he would have been gone by now.
And I can't continue to watch this.
Celtic's biggest issue is scoring goals.
Absolute rubbish.
Brendan's ghosted Celtic again, and Dermot Desmond's out for blood.
Desmond, get Ange on the phone rapid. This is an absolute disgrace.
Out of the managerial shadows,
Martin O'Neill screaming at Sean Maloney there,
comes Martin O'Neill.
And Martin O'Neill leaps high in the air.
Rangers in recovery, and now Celtic in crisis.
The passing, diabolical.
The summer transfer window was horrific.
Talk about your fears. ...0141-951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we reflect on one of the most incredible days in Scottish football for many a year. Brendan Rodgers walks away from Celtic again. He said he would see out his 3-year contract, but he is gone. Dermot Desmond accuses Rodgers of being self-serving, not telling the truth, and causing the level of toxicity currently aimed at the Celtic board. And as if all of that is not dramatic enough, Martin O'Neill is back as interim manager 25 years after taking over in the first place. Scottish football, it never disappoints. And here to go through it all, you have Gordon Dalziel and Marvin Bartley, as always in a Tuesday. But we tried to keep him away. He burst the door down. It is Hugh Keevans.
Well, once we find a microphone that works. For me, Martin O'Neill's arrival does not deflect from the fact that Celtic, as a club, from top to bottom, are in crisis. The board is held in contempt by the fans. Brendan Rodgers was held in contempt by Dermot Desmond. The team on the park is going from bad to worse. They have an Old Firm game coming up next Sunday, but I wouldn't look past Falkirk tomorrow night because Falkirk must fancy this now. And if Martin O'Neill's press conference today was meant to be uplifting at a time of chaos and crisis at Celtic Park, then I'm afraid it fell flat on its face because it was not the sort of conference that was going to give the fans a new lease of life. And one last thing, Gordon, for historical context. Brendan Rodgers was the second most successful manager in Celtic's history, after Jock Stein. And Jock Stein has a statue outside Celtic Park. Brendan Rodgers has been knocked off his pedestal, word by condemnatory word, from Dermot Desmond.
Scottish football doesn't disappoint, does it? We're not even into November and the big two are already changed their managers. It's incredible. Hearts must be sitting there proudly top of the league thinking, on you go then, keep this going, we're quite happy. We're under the radar, we've just won at the weekend. It's incredible, Martin O'Neill back. I remember going up against Martin O'Neill in a semi-final in 2002 when I was there, United manager. Never thought he'd be back in the Celtic dugout. He is tomorrow night. Sean Maloney, I think he'll get a hero's welcome because I think he's very well thought of. But where did Celtic now go?
Yeah, I agree with Gordon. In terms of Hearts, from the outside looking in, we'll be absolutely delighted with what's happened at Rangers first and foremost. And, you know, now Celtic have followed closely behind them. It is turmoil, as Hugh said there. I'm really, really surprised that Brendan Rodgers has gone. You know, I spoke to fans maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago on the show. And after what Brendan has said, you know, I'll stick it out for the 3 years and I'll go at the end of the season. That's the way it felt to me. Now he's gone. Now they need to move on. And it's up to Martin O'Neill and Sean Maloney to get Celtic going.
01419511025. Never have you needed the number more, because I have a funny feeling it's going to be lively out there tonight. What do you make of that breaking news? 10 to 10 last night, Celtic confirmed Brendan Rodgers had resigned. Dramatic enough. Until 10 minutes later, Dermot Desmond comes out with arguably the most explosive statement you will ever hear from a club official about an outgoing manager. Truly remarkable stuff. And in amongst it all, somehow, the third most exciting bit of it all was that Martin O'Neill is back after arriving in the year 2000 and being out of football management for quite some time. Hugh Keevans, there is a kind of serious side to us having you here, because you've kind of seen it all.
Yep.
Until you've not. Did even this rock you when you heard it last night?
Took me by surprise, I have to say. But we all know that the relationship between Brendan Rodgers and Celtic was deteriorating at an alarming level. However, what's going on now, if Rangers, 3 weeks ago, following Russell Martin's departure, had brought in a 73-year-old coach who last worked at the club 20 years ago, it would have been met with ridicule and anger. Martin O'Neill is there, I think, at Dermot Desmond's insistence to try and deflect attention away. I know I was there on his first day at Celtic Park, and I was there in Seville when he took Celtic to a European final. And I know he has a place in the hearts of the Celtic fans, but Celtic are in trouble on the park, and Martin O'Neill tomorrow night has to get a result against Falkirk or things get worse. And the Old Firm derby at Hampden on Sunday, he hasn't had one of those for 20 years. If things go badly against Rangers on Sunday, if you think it's looking grim now, it'll be 10 times worse after a defeat from Rangers.
John is on the line. He's first through from Gartcosh. Take it away, John. Where were you when they heard the news? Did you have to wait till you woke up this morning? Did it ruin your night? Tell us all about it and how you look back on it all now.
Hi, Robin. Hi, guys. Absolutely shocked with the news. But to be fair, I was sitting last night, came up on my Twitter face feed, and I'm glad, to be fair, because I just couldn't see a way that Brendan Rodgers was going to turn that around, to be honest. Like I say, he's had 8 games and the football has been abysmal and we can't score. So, yeah, right thing for him to do, I think.
What was your shock level, Gordon? Because I get where Hugh's coming from. There's a side that says, well, things weren't well, clearly. Mm-hmm. The 8 points behind, there's a lot of conflict in terms of what the board say and what Brendan Rodgers says. I think some people had maybe started to come round to the idea that he wouldn't see out the season, but that didn't make last night any less dramatic, did it?
No, I was surprised like everyone else. My timing was probably, I was looking at next Sunday, Gordon, the importance of the League Cup semi-final against Rangers. If he had went into that and lost, then this news today wouldn't have shocked me, but it did last night. But you've got to say, I totally agree with John. Like, Brendan Rodgers is a fantastic football manager, won numerous titles in Scotland and been great for Celtic. It is time for a change. They're a sinking ship just now. You watched them at Tynecastle, second half, they had nothing about them. People are questioning his tactics, people are questioning his substitutions, people are questioning what he's saying in interviews after it. I think both parties will be happy with the fact that they've went their separate ways now. It was always coming, but I thought it'd be next week.
I wonder about the detail though, Marvin, because I understand what John's saying. If you don't think it's heading in the right direction, you change the manager. But this feels more complicated than that. The way that it's come about, the fact that Dermot Desmond has said what he's said, which I'm sure we'll get to, the fact that Martin O'Neill's come in with Sean Maloney in interim charge, it feels like this might be a bit more complicated than saying, oh, I'm glad Brendan Rodgers is away and all of a sudden things will get better.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it is extremely complicated, and normally you see mutual termination as well when a manager is to leave a football club. You know, Brendan Rodgers just resigned. I'm surprised even what Gordon's saying there, even if they would have lost to Rangers in the semi-final, I still thought in my mind that Brendan Rodgers would have still been there. Totally blindsided by what's happened, but you know, it does say a lot. Like you said, Martin O'Neill was on the radio yesterday speaking about how good it would be for Hearts to, you know, win the top flight, and all of a sudden he's thrown his caretaker manager and needs to save Celtic's season. So, yeah, listen, I'm totally surprised by it. Obviously, Brendan's got to a situation. It did make me think back to the car analogy that he used. Did he felt that he lost the dressing room after that? Because that can happen. You know, if players did feel disrespected by that and you are a manager trying to get a reaction, I know he got one in Europe, but then obviously against Hearts, they were totally flat again. And he probably thought to himself, you know, can I take this team forward anymore?
Because there's always two ways of looking at it when you want your manager removed to whatever team you support. Yes, you have to think that it's the right thing to remove that guy, but that only works if you're sure or confident that the next person makes things better.
Yeah. I think, obviously, things had come to a stage where Brendan and the board and Dermot Desmond could not coexist. I've never believed that the Honda-Ferrari thing was about the speed of the team. I've always believed it was a direct dig at the board. And having said that, and then lost the following match in a fashion that must have alarmed the Celtic supporters, that was it. There was nowhere to go after that, and the relationship came to an end. Celtic can't do anything about their squad, which is threadbare. They can't do anything about it until January. The damage that could be done between now and January, I already think the league has gone. And by January, I think Celtic will have dropped more points, because you could not have looked at Tynecastle on Sunday and not been alarmed.
What about the way this has all played out, John? Because as we said, there's a bit more to this than just a managerial change. It just feels bigger. It feels more dramatic.
Yeah, definitely. Especially from the last time Brendan Rodgers was in Chelsea, said that he would never do that again. But what Desmond has come out and said in that statement, then you've got to say that they definitely bored, and Brendan Rodgers were definitely not in the same wavelength. But just a one wee point on how amazing that's going to be for Martin O'Neill leading Celtic out in a semi-final against Rangers at Hampden, 73 years of age. Like, what an absolute legend for the club. And I'll be looking forward to seeing that.
And believe me, if he loses, his legendary status will not count for a thing.
No, and that's fine, but he also might not. And that what John didn't say that. John didn't speculate about what the outcome would mean. John's saying that Martin O'Neill's going to get a hero's welcome from the Celtic fans. That is undeniable. Yeah. Hugh can be quite right. If he loses five games, will they sing his name? I doubt it. Mm-hmm. He'll get a hero's welcome.
I think it's a good move from Celtic. I think it's a smart move, Gordon, because you'll know tomorrow night when Martin O'Neill walks out that tunnel, the fans will be right beside him, behind him. They'll give him a hero's welcome, because Martin O'Neill was a fantastic Celtic manager. Yes, he's 73. He's not been in the game for a long time, but he's got Sean Maloney. He's got youth beside him. And by all accounts, he's a brilliant coach, Sean Maloney. I know it's not worked out as a manager. I think just now, in the short term, I think it's a very, very clever move from Celtic.
The players will take energy from that as well, won't they?
100%, yeah. Because I think he's got character. I think there's a bit about him. I know what Hugh was saying today. We watched the press conference. He likes a little joke and a little nip at one or two of the guys asking him questions. That's fine. He was always like that. I found him a really interesting character. But the one thing he will demand is respect in the dressing room.
I mean, Hugh, the way this has played out, that, you know, John spoke about the divide there. I think it was the 6th of October, on the back of talks with the fan groups, Celtic put out communication to say the club rejects the idea that there's a breakdown between the manager and the board. That was exactly 3 weeks ago from the date that Brendan Rodgers resigned. 3 weeks to the day, you then have a statement saying that his conduct communication didn't reflect the trust that was put in him, that his take on contract talks were simply untrue, that he did personally identify and approve every single signing that was made, that one individual's desire for self-preservation came at the expense of others, and so on and so forth, that his words have been divisive, misleading, self-serving, and have contributed to a toxic atmosphere around the club and fueled hostility towards members of the executive team and board. You have read a lot of words about Scottish football. Have you ever read anything quite like that?
No, it says condemnatory as it can get, and basically those words say that Brendan Rodgers is a liar. I await Brendan Rodgers' response. I wonder if he might feel badly enough about what has been said about him to take it further. But it's a sorrowful end to what was an outstanding time over two separate stints at Celtic. He goes under a cloud, but there is no doubt that he was terrific for Celtic when Dermot Desmond brought him in and Dermot Desmond brought him back. It's a sorrowful end, as I say, but it's now all about where does this club go from here? This is a club, at the moment, at war with its own fan base. A fan base who now refuse to buy club merchandise, and that will eventually come to hurt Celtic. They have been starved of money by their own fans, and they have got to get the next managerial appointment correct. But I'm not sure that they can do anything that will prevent them from finishing second or maybe third.
John is on the other line. Give us your reaction to this, John. What did you make of it all? There's a lot going on.
To be honest with you, I'm not surprised. I'm not sure, though, if Brendan Rodgers resigned or he was dismissed. The reason behind that is that Dermot Desmond came out with that statement. He's never done that with a previous manager. I don't think Brendan Rodgers signed a non-disclosure act. Hence the reason that Dermot Desmond has come out with a statement before Brendan Rodgers had his chance to come out with anything.
Do you find this, John, do you find this edifying? Do you find this the Celtic way?
I think with this board, it's possibly the right way. It's underhand, it's cheeky, it's disrespectful to the supporters.
I've seen a few people offer this. Look, the official statement is that Brendan Rodgers resigned. By the sounds of Dermot Desmond's statement, he would love to have sacked him. So I feel like he would have taken that chance if
it's
he could.
Strange one, isn't it?
Like, it's officially down as a resignation. I don't know if it's really worth debating that, you know, because by the looks of it, it's not like there's been no NDA or anything signed on Celtic's part. Usually they would do the mutual agreement and everybody moves on. That's clearly not happened if you look at what's been said. So, look, as far as we know, Brendan Rodgers resigns. John thinks it's all...
If you look at the state of the Celtic put out, and then you look at the statement of Dermot Desmond put out, Dermot Desmond's a 34% shareholder. He didn't put that through Celtic. That's come from an external source. So why has he done that? Why has he thrown Brendan Rodgers under the bus by doing that?
Because Dermot Desmond runs Celtic.
And is that not what's so fascinating about this? You have seen it pointed out today that Dermot Desmond, as John points out, he's the biggest shareholder. He's a 34% shareholding. But that's I'm not going to say that's it because it's clearly significant, but that is it. Yet he is hiring managers. He phones Martin O'Neill to say, can you come back? He presumably has control of the club's communication channels late at night to issue a statement like that. This is what the Celtic fans, some of them, have been annoyed about recently, and yet it's actually played out last night.
As I say, he is the principal shareholder, but he's not the majority shareholder. He is not the owner of the club, but he acts as if he were the owner of the club. The chairman has nothing to say on this matter. The CEO has nothing to say on this matter. The statement that Celtic put out last night was one-tenth of the size of the statement that Dermot Desmond put out. As usual for Celtic, it wasn't signed by anyone, but Dermot Desmond went to town on Brendan Rodgers and then phoned Martin O'Neill. Therefore, to my way of thinking, Dermot Desmond conducts himself as if he was the owner of the club, and the people on the board of directors do not question him.
I thought it was a bit disrespectful. I can understand the statement. I'd be probably angry. We don't know what's went on behind the scenes, but I think I think it's a really good decision for Celtic because they need something. They need a freshness. They need someone in there. You knew Brendan Rodgers.
How certain are you of that? You think there's no way that Brendan Rodgers was the guy to get Celtic out of this?
No, I think Celtic were going a mile backwards. I really do.
No, but can that be fixed by a change of manager though?
I think Brendan Rodgers has got out at the right time to keep his reputation intact as well. I think he was in a sinking ship. They could easily. I think one or two of us will be tipping, and don't ask me why, Rangers next week to beat them in the semi-final because they don't look like scoring a goal. You stop McGregor playing, they can't, there's nothing else. All the players are off for him. I think
but that's Brendan, what I mean. So it's deeper than a manager.
I think there's a lot going on. But the one thing I will say is, I think Brendan Rodgers, for what he's achieved in two stints at Celtic, deserved a little bit more respect for
him. If we can, for a moment, simply get over the statement from Dermot Desmond.
Oh, not yet. Not 20
no,
past
no,
six.
No, no. But in terms of who comes in now, Celtic have sold quality, bought mediocrity, and are now in a position where you reap what you sow.
What did you make of the statement, Marvin?
Yeah, it was one of those things. I probably read it three or four times, and you think to yourself, is it his only opportunity to come out and tell the fans what he sees as the truth? You know, Brendan Rodgers has had a lot to say in post-match press conferences this season, where he's, you know, created a toxic environment between the fans and the board. And if you're sitting there as a board member...
But some people would say they've created that. That's how some fans feel.
Of course, because what they were led to believe, or what they were being told by Brendan Rodgers. So if this is his only opportunity to say what his truths are, and if his statement is truthful, and we've got no reason to think otherwise because we've not heard back from Brendan Rodgers, then I think he's right to do so. Yes, it was strongly worded, but he's...
Not too strongly?
I just think it came across as a man who was highly frustrated of the situation and what was going on. And if you are putting your money into it, and if you are allowing the manager to buy players and he hasn't done it for whatever reason, again, if these things are true, then, you know, he's well within his rights. We always speak about it. Oh, we don't hear from board members. We don't hear from owners or majority shareholders or whatever he falls underneath. And then they come out and then they speak and all of a sudden, oh, that's too strongly worded. Well, if he's sitting at home and Brendan Rodgers is saying things to the public, which aren't true in his eyes, then he has a right to reply.
Thank you very much to John. What are you thinking out there? How are you feeling about it all? Give us a call and we'll speak to you next.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Gordon DL, Marvin Bartley here on an explosive day across Scottish football. Brendan Rodgers is gone. Dermot Desmond has had his say. Martin O'Neill is in, and who knows what will come next. Let's hear from Martin O'Neill. I've never said that on the show. That's not been said in a long time, because he is back and he says it won't just be a case of him bossing Sean Maloney around. The two of them will have to work as a team to get the best results for Celtic.
Well, if this had been, let's say, 20 odd years ago, I would have been definitely dishing out all the instructions. But since this young man has been a manager since, I'm a wee bit, I'd have to be careful of what I say to him. And I think that he might be actually giving me instructions. But it's nice to see him. He keeps me young, I must admit. And and it's nice because I took him to Aston Villa when I went to Aston Villa, and then he claimed he was homesick and came back to Celtic again. I've never really forgiven him for that. So and this is the first time that we've other than your time when you were working at Belgium, first time we've really met up. So I've got a lot to say to him now when this finishes. And it won't be positive.
George is on the line. George, how do you feel as a Celtic fan tonight?
Absolutely delighted, Gordon. I was on the show several times over the last month or two, and I've not been in the Lover fan. I wasn't when he came back, but recently he's narcissistic, divisive comments he's been making about his employer. I know Gordon agrees with us a wee bit. I've heard Gordon making some points. He's signing, saying he didn't sign players, or yet he's come out publicly then saying he signed off on the players. Everything Desmond said, I believe Dermot could have threw him on the bus a lot more last night. I think he's been quite reserved.
Whoa. Hold on a wee minute. That was reserved, and he could have thrown him under the bus more?
Yes.
By doing what?
Well, the refusal to work with our recruitment team. And then for the players, they absolutely came out, and Inamura was signed, and Yamada. And he came out and basically said the lad he couldn't defend. Then he played him. He played out his skin.
If you'd offered me 100 attempts at words to describe Dermot Desmond's statement, I would never ever have landed on reserved.
No,
he had a full blowing go at Brendan Rodgers. It was an angry statement from him. I know what Marv said. He's got every right to come out and defend the club, defend himself. It was always brewing. But I don't think George is alone here. I think we've got a lot of Celtic fans that are quite happy that there's a decision made. Look, Brendan Rodgers is a quality manager. Let's not be kidding. But for me, looking at that team, I know Hearts was a difficult game, but in weeks gone by, everything was just falling apart for Celtic.
You can be as dismissive of Brendan Rodgers as you like. He's gone. And now you had better hope that somebody has a really good idea about what happens next, because this is a team 8 points behind Hearts. This is a team who have to go over the month of November and December with what they've got. And what they've got isn't very much. And they have to try to avoid the 8 point gap worsening. And they have to do so, or the league by Christmas will definitely be gone.
So George, you believe everything Dermot Desmond said. You therefore doubt everything Brendan Rodgers did, and this is all nothing but good news for you, all of this.
Yes, but I apologise to him who was listening, if he offended, but within a moment, I want to say, but like, I believe he was wanting the guy to fail, and he came out in man of the match, three games in a trot, and then get dropped. But to me, this has been happening with so many players, the way he's treated your man. Bernardo, because he was a Mark Lowell signing, he's just said that so many players deplorably, and I've got to be straight to an environment in the dressing room. But this is what Brendan does. He doesn't have every club he goes to. And I know he's a living successful manager. He beat a strong, I don't like to say this, but I love winning the titles. But he beat a weak Rangers team that just been promoted. And this time he came back, Rangers were in turmoil again. We could potentially have lost the league. We would have lost the league to an average Hearts side. But what I will say is, now we'll get Martin Hill back. Hopefully we either get Ange back or Knutson in December, and Celtic will go in and they'll be top of the league by January.
Do you not have to be really careful with what you wish for and how revisionism works? Because in the midst of Celtic winning this stuff, Celtic were a fraction away from taking Bayern Munich to extra time a few months ago. They got through in the Champions League in a way that they haven't done before. And if on that night Hugh Evans had come on here and said, Celtic are just beating a Rangers team in crisis, that you know, that this achievement doesn't stand for much, the Celtic fans would have been up in arms. But George is on now sort of dismissing everything Brendan Rodgers has achieved. I think that has to be at least close to unfair.
Cheap shot. I mean, Brendan Rodgers won 11 of 13 trophies for Celtic. It's just a cheap shot, now that he's gone, to say he wasn't really that good in the first place. Cheap shot.
Yeah, listen, I agree. You know, he did a lot for Celtic Football Club. He was still a fantastic manager. I definitely believed he would have turned it around. I know Hugh was saying they're only going in one direction. I think good managers turn teams around, and Brendan Rodgers would have done that with his Celtic team. Had they been flat at times this season, 100%, had they been near their best? No, and he's admitted that. But I do believe he would have turned that around. But I agree, Gordon. You know, normally when people go, all of a sudden they weren't very good in the first place, this, that and the other. If Celtic can employ another manager that comes in as successful as Brendan Rodgers has been there, they've done really, really well. Because as Hugh said earlier, with his stats, the amount of trophies he's won, with the attempts that he's had, has been phenomenal. And they need to get somebody else on that same sort of level again, because this Celtic team need an injection of energy.
James is on the other line. What's your take on it all, James?
Hi, good evening, gentlemen. The thing is, I think Celtic had to act kind of quickly to get him out, because this decline, it's not just this season.
He resigned, though. Celtic didn't act, he resigned.
Aye, well, whatever, you know. But the team's been on the decline since the turn of the year, since Kyogo went, and it was never replaced, and it went downhill from there, and it culminated in the defeat against Aberdeen in the cup final, you know, so they had to go on. And it's clearly the way that the players are playing on the park, he's clearly lost the dressing room.
But hold on a wee second, right? See, just to analyse some of those points, you yourself have acknowledged that things were declining, players like Kyogo weren't replaced. So how does a change in manager fix that?
Well, the thing is that the players have lost. He's lost the players in the dressing room. You know, the players aren't playing for him. That's very clear when you watch them.
But what does that mean?
I hate that.
It's too easy.
I hate that saying. Look, I will agree. I think Brendan Rodgers resigned because I think Brendan Rodgers has looked at this situation, looked at his squad, looked at the way Celtic were going about their business. Some of his substitutions, even at the weekend, were baffling for me. And I think he's protecting his reputation as a top, top manager.
It has to be more than that, though.
I don't think he could have turned it round. No. I think he's looked at this and thought, even me...
So he's doubting himself as a top manager then?
Yeah, you can't turn that Celtic team around domestically.
Surely the Dermot Desmond statement tells you that it's more than that. This is about an environment. This is not a purely sporting decision.
For example, James brings up Kyogo. Kyogo left in January. 9 months later, having missed out on the chance to play in the Champions League, which, with the benefit of hindsight, was a real blessing for Celtic because they were taking some awful beatings there. But Kyogo left in January, and Brendan Rodgers was using expressions like "it's about arithmetic," trying to point out that the squad was diminishing in numbers as well as in quality. Where once there was Kyogo and Kun, you now have Balakwisha and Tunekti.
See if you feel that strongly, right? If you're Dermot Desmond, right, you feel that strongly. We're right now saying that Brendan Rodgers resigned. Okay, if you feel that strongly, why are you not sacking him on here? If you feel that's the way he's going about his business, why did you not come out after the Hearts game and say, enough's enough, we're sacking you, and put that out? Brendan Rodgers has resigned. So
it's because he probably still thinks he's the best man for the job. I think that statement's written off the back of Brendan Rodgers surprising them by resigning. I don't think anyone at Celtic Football Club knew he was going to resign. So that statement was written after that thinking, you're just going to walk out on us now. Well, let's tell some home truths then. I don't think he was in their position, Dermot Desmond, to think, I want rid of you. I think the relationship was broken down, but I still think he thought that Brendan Rodgers would be here to the end of the season. He was the best man to leave the club forward. When he then leaves, and it shocks absolutely everybody, I think he then gets that statement written, and it's like, right, let's tell some home truths here.
Steve is on the line. Steve, what do you make of it all? Statement and everything else?
Statement, absolutely appalled. Apoplectic with rage against Dermot Desmond. He says Brendan Rodgers was a divisive figure. I think that the people that he's put in place, Peter Lawwell for the last 20 years, if you analyse the last 20 years of Celtic, after Seville, Celtic bought a guy called Michael Gray, and the team that beat them in that final, they bought Benny McCarthy and they moved on to the Champions League final. Celtic have failed to progress since then. They've been regressing ever since. Brilliant, they've got 70 million in the bank. Brilliant, they won the league out of Alcantara when they're facing what used to be a two-team league at one point, but they've been down to a one-team league. So, and then you look at Martin O'Neill, when he left the back then, they replaced their striker, the top striker of all time, with Mo Camara. They then, after that, Rangers weren't investing, so they're always raising debtors, keep one step ahead of Rangers. I think that's his fans' whole argument against the Celtic, the way it's been run. If you look then, what happened, they refused to buy in 2008. Heslink wasn't scoring a goal. Scott McDonald wasn't scoring a goal. And then what did they do? They refused to pay $3.5 million, played low ball with Stephen Fletcher. What happened? Rangers done three in a row. A Rangers team who was going bankrupt at that time, they could have put them under 3 years before they actually did, if they did some investment. But oh no, did they do anything like that? No. The divisive figure, he pays more money to his horse feed, he pays more money, and he sits there coming along at Celtic Park getting a free ticket for the football. Yes, brilliant having 70 million, but what good's that if they don't invest it? Every manager, look at the managers they've gave us Ronnie Dyler, they've gave us Neil Lennon, who refused to go when he couldn't get a game out of the Celtic team and go for 10 in a row. At least Brendan Rodgers stood and said, you know what, away you go, shove this up, yeah, whatever you want to shove it, because it's disgrace. As you can hear, I'm raging at Dermot Desmond. He's an absentee landlord who doesn't turn up to the shareholders' meetings. He sends his son along and he puts someone in who's more or less a bean counter, who the divisive figure, Peter Lawwell, there has briefed against Celtic managers, has done everything, but you know, he takes out more money. Celtic is a small to medium cap business, and millions has been going out to directors when it shouldn't be deserved, because you know, Celtic has been poorly run. Yeah, brilliant, they've got 70 million in the bank, big wowee Jerry, they're poorly run in terms of what they've done in Europe. They've been kicked out, but anytime they qualify, they've tried to qualify for Europe, they've been beaten five times. How's that for investment? It's no wonder Brendan Rodgers was raging. There's problems he had. He couldn't get the team to play. But I think he was so you know, discouraged by the way that he was treated. Who wouldn't be? Maybe if he's not signed an NDA, maybe we'll be able to find out what has been going on there. Look at the Celtic manager they've had, Ronnie Dyler, Tony Mowbray. Celtic has been an absolute joke. Celtic fans need to step up to the plate and boycott Celtic. I've not been back for 13 years. Rangers cheated Celtic out after title.
You've missed a lot of trophies in that time, though.
We are brilliant. We've won trophy after trophy, but what has it been? The club have been criminalised by the police. What did the board do? Oh, they helped criminalise them even more. Celtic fans sing songs.
Well, we covered a lot of ground here, going back to Venegar of Hesselink and Kamara and Fletcher. Yeah. And I get it. To be fair to Steve, it comes part of a bigger picture, because there is a belief, Hugh, that Celtic haven't invested. If we bring that up to the recent example, that's kind of where the... where if you can trace this short term back to the summer, Brendan Rodgers, numerous allegations against the transfer policy. Dermot Desmond saying that's not true, he signs off in the mall. Brendan Rodgers saying he hadn't been offered a contract yet. Dermot Desmond saying that's not true. Brendan Rodgers saying he's fully committed to the club and the players know I'm with them. Dermot Desmond saying no, he's divisive and self-serving. So like all of these factors, just,
you know, in answer to Steve, Celtic can't do any more than they are currently doing. You know, as I say, Brendan Rodgers, 11 trophies out of 13. But my suspicion is that Celtic are now out of date as a football club. If you look at the team who are top of the Premiership at the moment, when they came in, when Tony Bloom came in, and it was Jamestown Analytics and this and that and the other, Celtic look antiquated by comparison. You know, they don't have a director of football. Their recruitment strategy looks fairly antiquated.
It's been pretty successful at times, though.
But now it's not so successful. Now, as I repeat, they have sold quality and bought mediocrity. We've got a team that was better left out of the Champions League because it would have been totally embarrassing. They just begin to look now out of date. Dermot Desmond has run the club for decades now, and they're in a rut. There's stagnation there.
Okay, thank you very much to Steve. It's 01419511025. That is the number that you need. So why not come down and give us your thoughts on what's been quite an incredible day. Whilst you get your calls in, let me tell you about this.
Oh my God.
Make me a winner at Halloween. Woo-hoo. Clyde One.
You won't be horrified to see this amount in your bank account, £666,000, if you win Make Me A Winner this Halloween. For £2.50 plus your standard network rate, you'll get 15 entries. If you text YES to 61025, you can get 100 entries by texting BANK to 61025. Those texts are £10 plus your standard network rate. Or you can call 03434-269-340, and the call's charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only. The online entry and all the rules for this network competition are at makemeawinner.co.uk. Lines close 5pm Friday. Good luck.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Marvin Bartley, Gordon Dale, all here. You can give us a call, send us a message as well. We had such a wide range of points coming in, as you can imagine. Dan says Desmond literally said Celtic is greater than any one person, which is so ironic. We've got an inquiry from Lewis who says, are you all wearing black intentionally as a symbol of mourning? I did wonder that. Mine is navy, okay? It's just dark, but you three, you've gone for, is that a Celtic?
He's polonic? Getting his Celtic polonic on.
No,
it's looking good in the car.
It's just a Marks and Spencer's polonic.
You've been charged up today, haven't you? You've been pacing the room all day long, just waiting for this.
You texted me last night, and
did I get to break the news to you?
Yeah,
yes,
yeah,
that's me.
I was busy watching Port Vale and Stockport County, and up at comes the text from Gordon, and thereafter the phone all night long, every day.
I was watching some sort of verging on chick flicky thing on Netflix and had to kick Mrs. Duncan out the living room because someone at Sky said, could you come on live on Zoom in 3 minutes' time? Oh. To scramble. But the amount of people that have got in touch today and said, you were clearly wearing your jammies.
I genuinely wasn't,
but normally I would be at that time. I must have sensed that something was in the air.
Sitting in the bare chest.
Tea and toast. just getting ready to wind up for the night. There we go. It's one of those, you won't forget where you were when you heard that. And you, did anyone, this is what I really want to hear, this is more of a social experiment. I want to hear from those people who go to bed early and didn't hear this news until they woke up this morning. Yeah. Imagine just maybe getting up, you're in a bit of a rush, you're just going about your business, and then you hear, who's the Celtic manager? What happened to the last guy? Desmond said what? What a night it was. Daniel is in East Kilbride. What's on your mind, Daniel?
How you doing, panel?
Good, how are you?
A bit shocked, obviously, for last night, but I'm actually just looking for a question. I'm looking for Brendan Rodgers. Why is he only successful for roughly about 18 months at every club that he's ever been? Do you get what I mean? It's like 18 months, he's brilliant and everybody loves him. And then the following year to year and a half, he's, I don't know, the club just falls apart. That includes Leicester, Liverpool, Celtic and Swansea.
Well, Leicester had never won an FA Cup until Brendan got there.
I understand that, but at the end of the day, they still sacked him.
I think
Daniel's talking about tailing off.
Yeah, that's managerial life. I mean, he's been successful at his clubs, and then it tails off, as you say.
Is that, so what, Daniel, you think that's a Brendan Rodgers flaw rather than some sort of coincidence or circumstantial? Because as we've said, this feels a bit more than... This feels a bit more than just Celtic were losing a couple of games, so he walked. You know, because this has been brewing with the kind of war of words and the transfer window and all that stuff. And we keep referring to Dermot Desmond's statements. This feels a bit more than just Brendan Rodgers is, you know, lost a couple of games and now he's decided to walk.
No, I'm not saying that he decided to walk. I think I'm not sure whether he just gets bored or doesn't get the funds or the people or the staff.
Daniel, which flawless manager do you want in there?
Flawless manager? I saw one.
Probably. The reason there's loads of time to look forward. That is one of the busiest nights. Let's continue to reflect on how we got here. We'll be looking for the Celtic manager for weeks to come. Daniel just said something there, though. It's like a Wayne spitting the dummy. If Brendan Rodgers has resigned, as you would expect, and I don't know what the arrangement is, he's walked away from a lot of money. Right?
Yeah, but he's read the room, man.
What I'm saying is, that's not spitting the dummy. Do you know what I mean? That's not a decision that you take lightly because, like, I've lost a couple of games, so watch this. I'm going to walk away. It's not like that's an easy thing.
Yeah, there's more
to
it. It's not about money for Brendan Rodgers. That's okay. He has walked away from a few quid, but I don't think that'll matter to Brendan Rodgers.
Because if he dug in and got sacked, you get your big payoff.
Yeah, but I think Brendan's read the room. I really do. He's kept his reputation. I think he was seen that Celtic were a sinking ship. Hearts bullied them the second half, deserved to win at Tynecastle. Some of the players, they're just not up to it just now. He's lost three big, big players for a long time. And then he looks at what's going to happen in January. That's why I think it was the right move for Celtic.
Dazzler, I will use an analogy which you'll readily understand.
Okay.
If you think of it as a marriage.
Aye.
Oh, don't. Why would you do this?
There has been an irretrievable breakdown in relationship between Dermot Desmond and Brendan Rodgers, between the Celtic board and Brendan Rodgers. And I think...
Between Brendan and the team also, because they've lost games. That comes down to the manager as well. Forget about recruitment. Hearts, we're talking about Hearts being 8 points ahead of Celtic, by the way.
Yeah.
And look where Hearts were last season. Look at the investment they made over the summer. Look at the investment that Celtic made. I understand they lost a lot of big players. But still, we can't sit here and say, I get it, board and Brendan, the fans and the board. But Brendan Rodgers and the team ultimately haven't been good enough domestically this season.
That's because the squad's poor.
So that squad should be
better players than Dundee.
Than Hearts as well. They're underperforming. These Celtic players aren't performing at the top of their game.
As is always the case, though, we never do this. Maybe the truth's just a little bit in the middle because generally we throw that phrase out, but quite alarmingly for Celtic fans, they're... are key areas of the pitch on Sunday where they don't have better players than Hearts.
No. Well, you should have because you're a £6 million centre half that you signed sitting on the bench.
Fine, but why don't you? Because they don't. Who would you pick up front out of Lauren Shankland and Johnny Kenny? Would Dane Murray get on Hart's bench as a centre-back? Now, I appreciate there are circumstances there, injuries and all the rest of it, but we keep saying that. Maybe if you just go a little bit towards Hughes' thinking, you don't need to go the whole way, but this notion of, ah, they've got better players than Hearts, I've got news for you. In some areas, they don't.
Yeah. See, I agree with you, but my question is quite simple. Why the Celtic? You know, if you're
then
not...
That's fine.
Right, well, they shouldn't be at Celtic for me. I just think that you're right in what you're saying. I think Hearts looked a better team than Celtic, but you're not telling me that Dundee have got better squad than what Celtic have got. And Dundee... cruise by
Celtic are above Dundee in the league.
We're also looking at Hearts in terms of the sample size of just this season. If you're telling me that, without being disrespectful, that Halkett and Stuart Finlay are better than Liam Skelos and Trusty after what we saw that pair do last season in the Champions League, I'm telling you there's no way that's the case. You know, definitely Shanklin at the top end, I understand that they've got injuries at that end of the pitch, but you know, as I said, Brendan would have spent £6 million on a centre half. That's a lot of money to spend on the centre back, and he sits on the bench. Why?
Let's be really quick. Brendan has phoned in, I imagine. I got a wee bit excited, I'm not going to lie.
Fell off my chair.
I've got a little bit excited.
I did.
Brendan and Stuarton, give us your quick reaction if you can.
Hey, just the fact that I think that Brendan Rodgers leaving, obviously a shock to Celtic. They expected him to, if he was to lose another game, he would have probably been pressurised to leave. But to leave after the Hearts game, I was quite surprised. Obviously the board's comments afterwards, that's up to the board to say what they want to say. Normally they should just keep their mouth shut and do it behind closed doors. But I think the fact that Ange is available at the moment and Celtic are now looking for a manager, I think Ange is going to be one of the prime candidates for them. I think he's actually the bookies' favourite to be a candidate to come to the job. Appreciate Martin O'Neill and Sean Maloney's come in and is there for us straight off the bat. 73-year-old guy with a relatively, I'm saying young, sidekick in managerial status, but I think it's going to go in Celtic's favour.
Well, we will see. And there's a name, Ange Postecoglou. Can you imagine? We can look at maybe some of the contenders. What about actual reaction specifically on what about Martin O'Neill returning? This is what I said earlier. It's remarkable that that is not the biggest part of all this because of the statement and all the rest of it. What about Martin O'Neill returning? Is that the right call for you? What happens next? Give us a shout whilst we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Lines close at 7. There's always just a little 30 seconds to have a bit of fun on Beat the Pundit, even on a busy night like this. So we'll play when we return.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
What a night on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. When we left last night, we had a couple of grumbles about Brendan Rodgers and Celtic's form and the fact that Hearts were 8 points clear, but mostly it was about could Hearts win the title. Little did we know that returning here tonight, Brendan Rodgers would be gone. Dermot Desmond would fly in two-footed, studs showing like Marvin Bartley on him, and that Martin O'Neill would be back in the Celtic dugout. Just incredible. So give us a call on the usual number. We want you to wade in. We probably could extend the show until midnight, there's no doubt about it, but get your calls in and we play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. What are we saying? Hugh Keevans is an honorary guest this evening.
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
I'm here as a UEFA observer.
Keep him out.
So Gordon Dale and Marvin Bartley will be contenders. Hugh can just sit back. Did you coordinate those black hoodies? It is really starting to annoy me. It's just
I thought Marv would come in with Livy tracksuit.
He always started, it was funny that once they go bottom of the league, he stops wearing it.
Yeah, that tracksuit's in the yours charity shop.
Yours is cheap looking.
I agree.
What are you talking about, green polo neck?
I agree. It's $1 million.
We've all done it against it.
Anyway, by the way, a bit of something exciting on Beat the Pundit. James is calling from New Orleans.
Oh, places.
James, how are you?
I'm good, Gordon. Yourself, mate?
So at what time did news of Brendan Rodgers' resignation reach New Orleans? You were behind,
well,
so you'll be fine.
It was at 6 o'clock. My brother and dad were calling. I actually thought somebody was maybe sick back home the amount of times they called me.
That's not great.
What time is it in New Orleans now, James?
It is 2:05.
In the morning?
No, behind.
No.
I said, could have been.
Oh, yeah, he's having 2:05.
Some people stay up late.
Tremendous.
Anywhere that side of us is behind, anywhere that side is ahead.
Right, okay.
Think of the Globe. No,
I'm not thinking of the Globe. I'm thinking of beating James and beat the pundit.
But I'm seeing a lot of this. Jamie Dock sent me one to say, to answer your question, I got up for a pee at 3 a.m. and saw the news, thought I'd woken up in the year 2000. He says, so people were catching up at different times. Anyway, James, I will toss the coin. It is blue for Marvin Bartley and red for Gordon DL. Let's see how it goes. Oh, hold on. Is that you reminding everyone you were off with a chest infection last week?
I know.
What sort of melodrama is that? If you're going
to
cough,
I was going to do it quietly.
I know, into the put mic. Your hand
down. I did.
It's Gordon DL anyway.
Yeah, we red. Get pumped.
Right.
That's what we'll... I wanted.
Come on, James.
Let's give Gordon DL something else to listen to. James, you have 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and just pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Okay.
Good man. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Where was Martin O'Neill's last managerial job?
Nottingham Forest.
Scotland women face which team at Eastend Park tonight?
Spain.
Name any Scottish Premiership team with a building on the club badge.
Dundee.
True or false, Danny Rule was 16 the last time Martin O'Neill managed a Celtic team?
True.
Which two team stadiums are the closest together in the Scottish Premiership?
Dundee and Dundee United.
Who was in charge of Airdrie at the start of this season?
Danny Lennon.
Caroline Weir plays for which club side?
Edinburgh City.
Okay, let's bring back Gordon DL. Can you hear us?
Yes!
Put the music back on. That was cool.
Oh, yeah. What were you getting? No. What was it?
Let's stop him.
He's no stopping us now.
Is that Georgie Benson?
So that's not what? That's not what you sang there.
No, definitely wasn't.
I don't know. Carry on that lyric for
no,
us.
No, ain't no stopping us now. Was that the song?
Yeah.
Was it?
Oh my word.
We're on the move.
Right, 30 seconds for you, Gordon DL, and your time starts now. Where was Martin O'Neill's last managerial job?
Nottingham Forest.
Scotland women face which team at Eastend Park tonight?
Switzerland.
Easy for you to say. Yeah. Name any Scottish Premiership team with a building on the club badge.
A building? Hearts, no idea.
True or false, Danny Rule was 16 the last time Martin O'Neill managed a Celtic team.
I would say true.
Which two teams' stadiums are the closest together in the Scottish
Dundee
Premiership?
Dundee United and Dundee.
Who was in charge of Airdrie at the start of the season?
McCabe.
And Caroline Weir plays for which club team?
Real Madrid.
Okay.
Boom, see you later. Thank you very much.
Mark,
there's
you know.
There's a win. There's
Mark
a
Drop,
win.
I'm with you.
Do you know?
He's hopeless. New Orleans.
He didn't hear James's attempt. James was
I don't even
fine.
Care about James's attempt. I've slot. Am I going for a 10?
No, you haven't got them all right. Believe me. Mm-hmm. James, is he right? Is his confidence justified or misplaced?
I need to call back. I had a late night last night.
Where is the delay, James? Get another question.
See, you come on and say things, James. You've got to back it up, my friend.
Here we go. A bit of honesty. I was slightly generous with James's time at the end because of the delay.
Oh,
he's in New Orleans and you're sitting 3 feet away from
gave
me.
Gave him half an hour. I wouldn't have mattered. Still tucked him away.
Anyway, Martin O'Neill was previously at Nottingham Forest. You both got it 1-1. Scotland women face which team at Eastend Park tonight? It is Switzerland. I was worried for you when he got this one, James, because I didn't think he would. And he did. So he goes 2-1 in front. Name any Scottish Premiership team with a building on the badge.
I got that one wrong, didn't I?
Falkirk have a steeple, according to producer John. Yeah. He would know these things. Hibs have a castle.
Mm-hmm. I say Hibs.
He didn't.
What did I say?
Dundee, I think.
No, you said Hearts.
Hearts, Hearts, Hearts. Hearts.
I meant Hibs.
And Motherwell
and
have
a fir tree.
And
Steelworks.
There you go.
I can't believe that.
Giving James a chance.
Yeah, still 2-1. Danny Rule was 16 the last time Martin O'Neill managed a Celtic team. It's just
James, what did you say?
It's part of that. That's another point in this, Hugh. Imagine you'd said 4 weeks ago. It would be Danny Rule and Martin O'Neill.
Yeah.
Never mind one of them. I think I saw the stat last night that it's the first time ever that they've both changed manager mid-season, and they've done it before Halloween.
Yeah, this
season, happening to this place?
Well, this season has the capacity to contain every major shock that you never thought would happen.
It's due for a
including
Netflix
Hearts winning the
documentary,
title.
If you ask me. Well,
right, come on, did James get that?
Yeah. Okay. So you're still one in front.
3-2.
Which two teams' stadiums are closest together in the Premiership? Quite an easy one. It's Dundee and Dundee United.
Did James get that?
He did. So 4-3. Still one in front. I'm aware of that, thank you. I keep the
scoring.
I keep the score, you keep quiet. That's okay. How this bit's supposed to work. Who was in charge of Airdrie at
5-3.
The start of the season? You said McKay, but I need his
Reece
full
McKay.
Name. I need his full name.
No. No chance.
I'm with Gordon.
Shut up.
You go on with you.
Oh, thank you. All right, good on you.
I'll give you. I'll 5-3. Reese McCabe. And Caroline Weir plays for Real Madrid. 6-3.
James.
And of course, okay, what's significant about Caroline Weir and the Scotland game tonight?
It served so many caps.
Nope. Anyone?
She's playing.
What is it? There you go. 10 points to James, and he's taken it over.
She's done firm
and support. It's a homecoming game. The entire reason that the game is at East End Park is for Caroline Weir.
Is it? Mm-hmm. Oh, James, have a point for that. 6-4.
Give him two.
Take two.
The producers always panic when it's someone from far away because they don't want to pay the extra postage.
I was never in doubt, mate.
Anyway, James, has the news of Brendan Rodgers' resignation and the statement that followed and everything else, has it been received any differently over there? How do you look at it now?
Yes, we're just in shock for everyone as well, but I think, I mean, the way we are at the moment, something had to change. So, I mean, you don't know everything that was going on behind the scenes. I think that's the one thing I would say. So maybe somewhere in between the both of the opinions, I would think. And we actually run the Celtic Supporters Club here, and we've got the North American Celtic Convention over here. So if the dazzler wants to come over.
Lovely. Are we invite, James? Yeah.
How welcome would Gordon DL be at the North American Celtic Convention or whatever it was?
I think they're good doing well.
So.
Yeah.
Okay. Aye, I think you do all right, my man. You're looking good as well, Gordon.
Thanks, mate. It's the Botox. I'm getting a wee touch up tomorrow.
Have you had more?
He's definitely watching a lot of screen.
Yeah, have you done something else to your head?
I'm getting a touch up tomorrow.
That right eyebrow is bothering me. It has been since the start of the show.
I'll get it done tomorrow.
It's got like a dent in it that didn't used to. Can you see that above his? That dent wasn't always there.
I know. I've got a wee touch up. I'm getting prepared for Mark's wedding, aren't I? I'm going to look
stunning.
Why
do you keep saying this? You're not a bridesmaid. You don't need Botox.
I want to show up and look really good.
Anyway, James, what do you make of Martin O'Neill coming? You sound quite young, James. What age are we talking?
40.
Oh, there you go. You sound great for 40. So you will remember Martin O'Neill, is it? He used the word surreal. Is that the way you would describe him coming back?
I mean, I think for the short term it's good. I mean, I think he can galvanise the players and with Maloney there with his tactics and stuff, maybe for a few games it'll work, but we need somebody big in, hopefully. I mean, my opinion, big Ange, if he can do it, that'd be the best thing for the club.
How many players in the dressing room tomorrow will actually know who he is?
The core, I guess. That kind of core, Scottish core will know. Maybe others, a lot of TV work these days. But then...
You'd know the history of the club, yeah, surely.
You're not going to get a... You're not going to get a perfect interim appointment, are you? So I think what James and others are coming at is, if you're going to go for some sort of emergency stopgap type, it might as well be a club legend that, as you said, will get at least a good reaction when he walks out as a starting point.
It's a great appointment, I really do. I think he'll steady the ship. I think he brings a bit of character as well to the Celtic.
He has been at management for a long time, though.
That's where Maloney comes into it, though. Yeah. Martin O'Neill, for me, won't be there to manage day to day. He's there to be the figurehead, to deal with the press, to get the supporters back on side when they step out at Celtic Park tomorrow. And Sean Maloney, as we all heard about, being a really, really good coach, day-to-day tactical stuff will be on him. So I think it's a perfect pairing for interim spell.
Big Ange, Hugh, is James's wish.
You're like sacked Sean Maloney after 19 games.
Doesn't mean he's a bad manager, does it?
But by all accounts, that was always the thing, wasn't it? Like, there's loads of guys, good coach, but maybe just doesn't translate as a manager. To be fair, on a day-to-day, if Sean Maloney is allowed to put on training sessions for the Belgium national team with Kevin De Bruyne and his pals... He'll be fine at sticking a coaching session on for Celtic.
Well, they've got, three games in quick succession, Falkirk, Rangers and Midtjylland. That's
Nokia,
Brendan. That's
the old Nokia's getting excitable. Yeah,
yeah. That's Maloney.
So, you know, I'll get back to you after Midtjylland.
It's funny, like, just thinking of all the things that could happen in the show. We've got a couple of guests sitting and watching the show, and they just got to hear the Nokia go off.
They're both looking like, what's
live
that?
On air.
An Antiques Roadshow.
Keep them quiet. That's a good thing.
There's nothing better than
a relic. Pal, I say that.
You've not got a pal.
But DL.
Brilliant.
He's a budgie.
Apparently. What does that mean? Does that even mean?
I don't know.
Who's that?
Anyway, right, thank you very much to James in New Orleans. If Gordon DL ever decides to go over to the Celtic Supporters Club over there, we will look you up. Unlucky though, James on Beat the Pundit. What about Kevin in Hamilton? Of all of this stuff that's going on, Kevin, what's the main thing that's on your mind?
Good evening, guys. How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Evening, buddy.
I'll be honest, I was literally just about to go to my bed last night with my friend text me and basically said Brendan Rodgers out, and I went, my reply was punted or left.
thinking it was a wind-up, and then he sent me the link and I read it, and I was quite, obviously, any other Celtic fan who grew up watching the Martin O'Neill team, I was quite excited the fact he's coming back in the interim. But the only thing that gives me the fear a wee bit is the fact that Sean Maloney's coming in. I've just heard you speaking about his coaching credentials there, and they are very good. But as a manager, I'm a wee bit wary, and I can't believe I'm actually going to agree with you here. But Dermot Desmond coming out and basically 2 foot tackling Brendan Rodgers, we'll never get to the bottom of that if Brendan's signed an NDA. If he comes out with some sort of cryptic statement leading to sort of suggestions or hints at things, then we'll know he did sign one. But I'm hoping this isn't the board trying to appease us by bringing back Martin O'Neill, who obviously is very friendly with Dermot Desmond, and the fact that they're trying to sort of get Maloney in and then appoint him as a manager. That's my big fear. I wouldn't mind Ange coming back. A lot of people's criticisms of Ange were, like, we were really good in the league, played some of the best expansive football we've played in many years, but we struggled in Europe. But he took a really, really poor Tottenham team to a final and won it. I'm not saying he's going to do that for us, but I mean, he can't be that bad in Europe, do you know what I mean?
I don't think Ange Postecoglou will be interested.
No?
No.
No? Why, because of the squad?
Partly because of the squad, partly because he's been there, done that, got the T-shirt, and I think he'll see himself in a bigger operation than Celtic.
I think he would jump at the chance.
Depends what his gardening leave situation is.
Do you know what? Funny, I was talking to Hugh before we come on. That was the one thing.
Come on, if there's one guy that I thought would focus on the finances, it'd be you.
Yeah, it depends what the situation is before us, but if that could be resolved, I think if you offered Postecoglou another chance at Celtic, I think he would jump in the
What about the squad thing? Because I take Hugh's point. I don't think it's necessarily wonderfully attractive, but it wasn't that either when he took over. That was the point. He needed to come in, and you look
he
at the
made
way...
made it attractive, though.
He comes in the window,
that's what I'm saying,
didn't he?
Yeah.
So, but, well, that, does that not contradict what you said?
No, I think, first of all, if he came in next week... You can't bring anybody in until January.
No, but we saw a bit of that at the start, didn't we? As an example, remember that team where, I just think that first night at Tynecastle, Anthony Ralston was playing, wasn't he? And it was inverted and everybody was trying to get to grips with it. He had to get a real tune out of guys like David Turnbull, mm-hmm. and asking him to do things that people maybe didn't think he was capable of. And it was working, but then it got fine-tuned and Rio Hatate arrived and others arrived. So what's to say that couldn't happen this time?
Purely personal point of view, mm-hmm. I just think he's been to the English Premier League. He's won a European trophy for Tottenham, and I don't think that Scotland is big enough for him anymore.
Listen, that's a completely separate point, and you might be right. I was kind of separating it between, mm-hmm. Would he want to versus would he be unwilling to because he doesn't think the squad's strong enough? I think those are two entirely different things.
Yeah, I agree with you that they are two different things. I just think coming outside of a transfer window and the squad's in the position it is at this moment in time with the season having started, these players are lacking confidence and, all at times like they're lacking direction. So I just think it's a much more difficult job for him to come in now, like Hugh saying there, when you've got however many weeks until January, rather than when he came in the summer, which was late, Gordon, I agree, but you're still able to bring in players and introduce them into that team very early.
Let me ask him, Kevin, I'm interested in your theory, Kevin, that of the O'Neill-Maloney duo, Sean Maloney's part in it is the bit that you're worried about.
It's just obviously, well, John Kennedy's been there for a long time, and I think that's been overlooked as well. He's given a lot of time and service to Celtic, and he's now left as well. So the whole coaching staff's pretty much away, apart from like Gavin Strachan and a couple others. So whoever's going to come in next, I don't know what will happen with them. Will they bring along their own staff? I know Ange came off basically off the plane himself, came in and but sort of fitted in straight away by the coaches that were already there. But I mean, in an ideal world, this situation for me is pretty decent because I think every Celtic fan, anybody that comes on, you'll ask, we wouldn't have been really as upset this time with Brendan walking away better than this happened with the board. But if you think there's been a few already there now with the board, if that was to happen, that's absolutely nothing compared to what you'd see if he was announced as the manager.
To be fair, on that, and I know you don't have to take everything at face value, but Sean Maloney said today, in no uncertain terms, this is short term, no designs on turning it into anything else. Kevin's saying he's fearful that essentially the board are trying to sneak Sean Maloney into the position.
I really don't read into that situation in that way. That Sean Maloney knows that his forte is coaching and not managing now. I think he may be kept on by whoever is the next Celtic manager, or he reverts to his existing job, which is mm-hmm. pathway for the younger players. He'll certainly be employed by Celtic. But there's no way in this world.
I think you're right, Hugh. I think there's an opening there with the fact that Kevin was touching on. We've not said it tonight. The big surprise for me is John Kennedy as well.
I was just going to say that. What do you make of that? Please correct me if I'm wrong, because there's so much doing the rounds and maybe I've missed it. I still don't think any public acknowledgement at all.
No.
From Celtic, about John Kennedy's departure.
Public acknowledgements.
No, but that's. But to some people, that's not good enough. And he's a guy that was there as a young boy, and we know the injury, and then has been in the coaching staff ever since, and has been with the first team for 10 years. I think more than that since prior to Ronnie Dyla.
I think Brendan Rodgers has an inkling of where he's going next, and he's going to take John Kennedy with him.
But even if he does, though, that doesn't mean at this point
you leave the job,
or you explain, or Celtic then explain where he is, or just even wish him well. Maybe I've missed it, but I haven't seen.
See, I think a lot of people will go with Hugh's idea there. Rodgers, who said to Kennedy, "Look, I'll take you with me," but I know for a fact when Postecoglou went to Spurs, he wanted to take Kennedy, and Kennedy didn't want to go. He wanted to stay at Celtic. It's a surprise.
Did Brendan try last time to Leicester as well?
Yeah,
well,
I think that's what people like Kevin and other Celtic fans are saying. Then it would be nice to acknowledge someone who showed 100% that loyalty.
And they should because he's given them great service. He was unfortunate as a player with an injury, but as you said, he's worked with the first team. He's very highly thought of as a coach as well, John Kennedy, no matter what you say about him. I know at one point in this show a couple of years ago he was coming in for a lot of criticism about he's a defensive coach. I thought that was a bit unfair, but I think you're right. I think you should be acknowledged.
Maybe Dermot's writing out the statement just now, but he just hasn't posted it yet.
I think one statement was enough. Thank you very much to Kevin in Hamilton. What about the rest of you? What are you thinking? Hearing anything you agree or disagree with, why not let us know and we will get you on next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel, Hugh Keevans, Marvin Bartley all here waiting to take your calls. Get in touch, let us know what is on your mind this evening. Whichever one of you is using your mic as a punch bag,
could you please that was me.
Stop it. Speaking of which, you know, I went to Marvin Bartley's gym yesterday, the one that he frequents.
I was raging.
So I was in the east, I was at Tynecastle, and I thought, I've got a bit of time. I went into the gym, and the staff, one of the guys was saying, "Oh, Marvin comes in here all the time," and he took me over. You know the wee lightweights. He said these are the ones that Marvin uses. He said, "See those wee 2 kg dumbbells? They're Marvin's favourite."
Is that your favourite?
It's my favourite corner. There.
I think you're eating them.
So
have we got a quiz tonight?
I don't think we'll bother.
Oh, no.
Just too busy.
Okay,
just
look at him. You won't beat the pundit, and now he's on a roll.
Oh, I'm
just save your energy.
George is on the line. How are you, George?
Not bad, guys. How are you, guys?
Oh, good, but I'm much more interested in how you are with that news last night. What are you thinking?
Brilliant, mate, brilliant. When I did come on the show, I was the first to mention it about the tie, about Brendan's tie.
You called this? So,
yeah.
You said it. Remind us, it was Pittodrie, wasn't it? Tell us what you said that night.
It was, mate, and it was something that I've noticed before. I noticed it the first time round when he was at Celtic, and I've noticed it in other various positions at Leicester also. When he was going down the hill, he didn't wear his tie. Didn't wear the club tie. Some people mentioned about he didn't. Oh, he's not got his belt on. He's not got his. I think it was Roger. But it was there for it to be seen. And I know I get blown off my chair with a call.
George has had the last laugh. George called in here after Pittodrie, says Rogers has chucked it. He's not wearing his tie.
Yeah.
Everybody laughed. Now look at George, Hugh, a man after your own heart.
No.
You don't think it was fat? It was the signs were there in the wardrobe.
I think George has got far too much time in his hands. I don't know where he lives, but there's not a lot to do there, obviously. And the fact that Martin O'Neill did his press conference today minus a tie, George, what does that tell you? Is he off tomorrow morning?
Well, Martin had the Brian Clough jumper on when he used to come running about the touchline, bouncing up and doing a wee jumping bean. So no, he wore it. He copied, in my opinion, the Brian Clough jersey, the green jersey with the underneath polo shirt. But if Martin comes out with a tie on, I'll tell you he's sacked.
This is a big deal, because just remember Brendan Rodgers then got asked about the tie, and he said, "Look, I was just too hot." Maybe George saw it coming. I think
George is right. I think George is spot on. He's taking off his tie.
So we should have known.
All the signs were there.
All the signs were there.
All the signs were there.
It was only ending one way.
I would be delighted if Martin O'Neill come out that tunnel tomorrow with the old boots, the socks,
the old NTL jumper.
Yeah, I love it.
Remember, like the big collar with the socks tucked in
and the sleeves rolled up. I would love Martin O'Neill to come out like that.
Can he still jump as high, do you think, Hugh? If Celtic score, do you think he'll still do the...
Being 2 years older than Martin, I can assure you there'll be no jumping done.
I don't know. I've seen you get quite sprightly when you beat the pundit. Right,
that's
George.
Red wine.
Tie aside, is this good news? Is it not? What did you make of the way it's then played out with the statement from Dermot Desmond?
I think it's been good news, guys. It's been coming. It's been on the cards. The football's been absolute draws to watch. It's been bent backwards, in my opinion, from last season. I kicked the ball away for you. A treble at Aberdeen, against Aberdeen. We were kicking the ball 30 seconds away from taking Bayern Munich to extra time in the Champions League. It's been downhill for there, guys. It's been downhill for that time. It's been downhill for last January. The signs were on the wall. That's why I came on with the tie jibe.
The squad's gone downhill since January.
The last January, sure, I think it's been the Cubs went backwards. I think since obviously the muted noises about Maeda leaving, Kuhn going, I think they all took their foot off the gas at the back end of last season. Never mind anything else.
I agree. I think Celtic are a bad watcher now. I thought they played well on Thursday night, I've got to say, but I looked at them and I listened to Brendan Rodgers after Hearts game, and he was mentioning that the reason they won titles and they're so successful, fast-flowing football. Well, Celtic aren't playing fast-flowing football. You go and watch a Hearts game and the young lad, Dane Murray, who didn't have his best game on Sunday, the amount of times he passes the ball back is incredible, Gordon. It's absolutely incredible. Everything was slow. Hearts only done one thing the second half to win that game, is they stopped Callum McGregor getting on the ball and they bossed the game.
They paid $5 million for Balakwisha, and that's all he ever does, goes backwards.
I don't know what they see in him at all, Hugh. He'll need to prove me wrong. I think he's probably one of the worst signings I've seen. I really do. I know he's not getting a lot of game time, but he's offering absolutely nothing when he comes on.
I guess time will tell, Marvin. It's just the... I suppose it's the downside of football management. You will be the one that pays the price. And Brendan Rodgers hasn't paid the price. He's not been sacked. He's resigned. But I think for all... I'm saying that in relation to all the fans who are sort of treating this as good news, if you like, saying things have been going downhill and therefore Brendan Rodgers had to leave. What if that's not the bit that needed fixed the most, though? What if that wasn't the main issue? It might have been an issue, because a manager will never be exempt because he's the manager. But what if there are other things at Celtic that are more detrimental to what's going on than Brendan Rodgers was?
Listen, I agree with you. I think it's part of the issue. As the manager, and like you said, it will always fall on his door. But I also think the players out there haven't been, you know, nearly playing well enough. I agree with you. They're getting into some really good areas. And when you've relied on that 1v1 quality, the players have failed to do so. They're going backwards with the ball. They're not running as hard as they usually do. And they're almost expecting us somebody else within that team to do it. So wherever that comes from, that's not, again, I'm saying from the manager down, from the board stuff, that's the board stuff. The actual players out there, Gordon, have been so far off it this season for Celtic players. Regardless of injuries, we've seen Celtic have injuries before and come through it. This team now look to me as if they aren't capable of catching Hearts. And that's a real worrying position for Celtic to be in, because two or three weeks ago, I was saying, nah, Celtic will turn it around. They've got, you know, serial winners and the players will dig in. Now I'm not so sure after seeing them on Sunday, because they went down with a whimper.
If the managerial appointment was right, could they catch Hearts?
The players have to get their bit right. Regardless of who the manager is, you should not need to be motivated by a manager. There's no chance you can say to me, Brendan Rodgers' tactics are incorrect. So whatever is happening, whether it's that the players are taking their foot off the gas and now they can't put it back on there, a new manager might come in and get a new manager bounce, as we always speak about. It might be a fresh voice. It might be just what the players need. But it's not as guaranteed as some people do think, you know, that a new manager comes in and all of a sudden these players start performing 10 out of 10 again.
Well, it's going to be interesting. George, look, I think you're a visionary, George, even if Hugh doesn't. You keep noticing the things that other people aren't noticing, George, and you stay in touch. Let's bring in Ross in Bears Den. Hi, Ross.
How you doing?
What's your take on it all, Ross?
I actually went to bed early last night.
No.
Because I work early. And I woke up at 3 o'clock this morning to go to work and heard the news and was absolutely stunned. I think Dermot Desmond's brought his own position into disrepute and the club's an absolute laughing stock. And usually I wouldn't even bother phoning in. I would just watch the show. But the things, the way things are going just now, I actually don't really know what to say. I think pulling Martin O'Neill out of retirement is disgraceful. And I think, to be honest, the board are actually prepping Sean Maloney for the job. But regardless of what happens, I don't think anything's going to change.
What's the bit that scunners you the most then? You said, you know, you just feel kind of down, because we've actually had a lot of callers on here tonight saying, oh, this is good. Brendan Rodgers wasn't the guy. He's gone. That's good. You definitely don't sound as optimistic about the future.
Nah, there's a part of me that always thought that Brendan was going to leave, but this is not the way that I wanted it to happen. And it's kind of death by a thousand cuts sort of thing. That's all the wee things. I don't see the players reacting to this. I don't think the players have the quality to be able to do anything about catching Hearts.
Ross, I think with regard to Sean Maloney, the board won't have anything to do with it. The next manager will be chosen by Dermot Desmond. The board have nothing to say about anything. They wait until Dermot Desmond tells them who the next manager will be.
I think it's a good move. I know what Ross is saying, right? Martin Neal, 73, has been out of the game for a few years. But John Kennedy's left the building. Now, usually if a manager had left, John Kennedy easily could have stepped in there and taken charge.
Done it before.
Yeah, 100%. John Kennedy's away. They were left short. I think that Celtic have made a good move here. Look, Martin O'Neill knows he's only in for a short term till the new manager comes in. I think he'll give everybody a lift. He's that character, he's experienced. Maloney's there beside him to do all the work for him on the training ground. I think it's a good move.
There are no guarantees. Look, I'm not going to lie. I was at the press conference today. I know who Martin O'Neill is. I thought it was sort of warm and it was funny and it was entertaining, but that doesn't mean that Martin O'Neill's character that you speak of translates to Balakwisha or Marcelo Saracchi, or do you know what I mean?
Right, but Martin O'Neill was successful as a manager because, in my opinion, he was a good manager, right? Yeah, yeah. So he'll get in that dressing room and he will lift the players, he'll get to the players. I know what you're saying, Gordon, but I think his strength is the management.
Martin O'Neill came into Celtic and was bankrolled by Dermot Desmond to what was then a phenomenal degree. It was £6 million for Sutton, £6 million for Hartson, £4 million for Alan Thompson.
Neil Lennon.
Stan Petrov was there, £6 million for Neil Lennon. Henrik Larsson was there. It was a glorious time to be at Celtic Park, and Martin O'Neill made the very best of it. But he's coming in now, as you said, Balakwisha, Tunekte. Well, it's a whole different thing. And I also take your point about today's press conference being warm and, there's cuddly Martin. And Celtic require, and very quickly, a boot up the backside.
OK, well, what would you have done right now then?
Yeah.
If you're not convinced by Martin O'Neill, you need someone this morning for a game tomorrow. What would you have done, if not Martin O'Neill?
If there was a chance of retaining Brendan Rodgers until January, I would have gone after that.
He resigned. So Brendan Rodgers resigns last night. What do you do if you're not convinced about Martin O'Neill? I accept it's not perfect, but what's the best solution just now if you've got so many issues with Martin O'Neill?
I mean, you could take Maloney and just tough it out with him.
He's not going to get the fans back on side though by himself, Maloney. I think if you look at it from the board's point of view, there's two sides to this. How do we get the fans back on side very, very quickly? Martin O'Neill. Because they're not going to boo tomorrow when that's out of team. They've got far too much respect for this man. He's a legend there. Secondly, how can we get somebody on the training pitch who can guide this team for the next week or 10 days or whatever else it might be? A man who's coached, as Gordon said earlier, at Belgium. No one's ever said about Sean Maloney's coaching credentials and saying he's not a very, very good coach. So those two things together, for me, is a perfect way for Celtic to go at this moment.
How big a job is the Ross to get everyone pulling in the right direction? Because let's not forget the couple of weeks that led us here. Although we've had a lot of calls almost happy that Brendan Rodgers is gone, there is clearly a massive number of Celtic fans, look at the protests, look at social media, a massive number of Celtic fans that do not like the way the club is run. So I'm assuming that hasn't changed. If anything, to those people, the Dermot Desmond statement has poured fuel onto that opinion. I'm sure I saw more from the Celtic collective today saying they're going to protest outside the front door at 7 o'clock tomorrow. So how does this all play out?
Well, as things stand, it looks as if Dermot Desmond's just put a massive target on his back when it was kind of more focused towards the board beforehand. And yeah, as results kind of started to get worse, it was kind of starting to pivot towards Brendan. But now Brendan's not there to take that fall for them, and I think he's done the right thing in doing so. At this point in time, the only thing that I can see is the protests escalating until the point where presumably Dermot Desmond has to do some sort of clean sweep on the board, or somebody else has to take the fall. It's not going to change. The fans are just far too annoyed at the way things have gone. And
Ross,
sorry
to interrupt you. What if the statement, and again, playing devil's advocate here, what happens if in that statement the things that were said were actually true? So what if those things actually ring true? Everything that's come out in the statement or came out in the statement was actually true. How would you then feel about the whole situation?
In what statement, sorry?
Dermot Desmond's statement that he put out.
I don't know how we're going to know who's right and who's wrong, or what is said is true or not. It's kind of he said, she said. But you put that together with like evidence from other managers gone by. If you go back to Strachan and then go forward from all the other managers, every single one of those managers has always made somewhere in their reign a statement that suggests that they've been undermined, or players have been bought that weren't of their wishes, or that they didn't know about, or that there was like a multitude of times where they tried to sign somebody and they, for whatever reason, it didn't happen because the recruitment process is too slow and all these sorts of things. So you kind of group all them together, and the culmination of evidence suggests. So it's...
But how many times did we hear Brendan Rodgers adamant that he was going to see out his 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
Adamant. It didn't matter, when the transfer window was poor, he still came out with statement after statement saying, no, I'm here for the 3 years, I'm here for the long term, he's resigned.
But does the reaction to that not tell you how murky all this is then? Because if you had said to me, well, when he was appointed and when he made those statements, if I was to cast my mind forward and think Brendan Rodgers will resign, I thought the Celtic fans would then say, he's done it again. Be up in arms, furious with him. But they're not. For a couple of reasons. Firstly, because some think they wanted him out anyway. And secondly, because others are holding it against the board. Mm. It's remarkable that we've arrived in a scenario where he has walked away again, but yet nobody's angry at him for that.
Well, because you rightly say, they looked at performances and thought, this is going nowhere. And he is getting away with this. Kairat Almaty was a shocking episode for Celtic. 3.5 hours against a team from Kazakhstan, could not get a single goal, and Brendan Rodgers took the heat for that one. Even though Celtic could and should have brought in players before the transfer deadline, Brendan Rodgers still took the hit, because how can you play for 3.5 hours? I'm not denying that.
He deserved to take the hit.
That's why the supporters are not concerned that he's gone, because they think it was time.
No, but that's what I'm saying. There's a split, but some also feel that it's because he wasn't backed.
But I think his words, Gordon, over the last maybe 6 to 8 weeks, a lot of the things that he's dripped in have helped him get into this position, like you're saying there, that's allowed him to leave
100%
without people then saying he's done it again.
Ross and Bearsden, thank you very much. So scunnered that he just had to phone in and get it off his chest, which we appreciate. Plenty more time for that when we return.
141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
A busy show tonight, as you might expect. Hugh Evans, Gordon Dale and Marvin Bartley are still here. Frank in Clydebank is on the line. What are you thinking, Frank?
Hi, lads. I think later on, boys, is everybody's on what's happening with Brendan Rodgers now. But definitely, there's definitely more going on, because when you look at John Kennedy resigning. Now, John Kennedy's been there for many a year. I think he's been under four managers, and he's decided to walk today as well. So that tells me there's something far wrong going on up there. Because if I remember right, Ange wanted to take him to Tottenham, and Dermot Desmond stopped him. And then Rodgers, when he left the first time he went to Leicester, was willing to take him, and he wanted to stay at Parkhead. And Celtic's been in his blood all his life. But for that guy to walk away today, there's definitely something wrong at Parkhead.
Oh, get me Hugh's mic off and back on again.
27 years, John Kennedy. It might just be the case that he's thought, well, do you know what? I've achieved an awful lot. I've worked with great managers, and maybe it's time to go. Or maybe there is the promise of future work alongside Brendan Rodgers. But, you know, there's so much going on, Frank, that I understand that your conspiracy theory, that you could have...
No, Hugh, I don't think it's a conspiracy. Mm-hmm. I think it's John Kennedy being a man and standing up and backing Brendan Rodgers.
I do think it's interesting because it has to be an... There's a few things. It's perfectly possible he's been asked to leave, I guess, but then that would be... If Rodgers is a resignation, why would you sack John Kennedy? No. But just everything's a possibility at the moment. Does... You know, is he overlooked... To take over, and then that puts his nose out of joint? Is it a show of faith with Brendan Rodgers? It does seem quite significant
when you talk about the
in
optics,
some way that John Kennedy's gone and still not been mentioned.
As we always do, talk about optics. How do you sell John Kennedy to the Celtic fans now as the manager? In the same way that you can't sell Sean Maloney to the Celtic fans.
That would
now
be the point. And Martin O'Neill with John Kennedy
on a permanent basis?
Not all. Just
to hold the fort.
The theory about wanting to join Brendan Rodgers in the future, that could still happen. Yeah. Brendan Rodgers isn't getting a job next week. Just stay where you are.
I don't think for 1 minute John Kennedy's left because of Brendan Rodgers. I don't believe that for 1 minute.
In what way?
Because I think John Kennedy, for me, was always going to be at Celtic. He's worked under so many managers. He's highly thought of. It would have been very easy for the Celtic board to say, right, okay, we'll accept Brendan Rodgers' resignation. John, take the team for the next 3 or 4. We're in safe hands. He knows the club. He knows the players. He's a very good coach, John. He's been there. I think the fans would have got behind him. But for just him to get in and resign as well, something just doesn't sit right with me there.
Listen, some internally Celtic might scoff at this and say that I'm overreacting, but I still think it's strange that's not been communicated yet.
Yeah, that's the thing. I looked for it earlier when people were speaking about it, and I've seen nothing official to say that he's left the football club.
It came out this afternoon, he's left.
No, it came out, but what, from Celtic? Frank?
Yes, it came out from Celtic this afternoon.
Well, listen, I'll stand corrected if I've missed it.
I missed that as well.
I looked at all the sort of statements and so on, I don't remember.
But I agree with you there, Gordon, in terms of being extremely surprised that he has left the club, however he's left the club, you know, for an assistant to resign as well. Normally it only happens when they come in with the manager. Mm-hmm. You know, he's been there pre-Brendan Rodgers. He's spent an awful long time at the football club doing various different roles. And like you said, he's a very, very respected assistant manager, coach, whatever you want to call him. So I'm extremely surprised he's left the football club, and he's a huge loss for Celtic.
You don't walk away from a job like that, a club like Celtic.
And a club that he loves, by the way.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And everything there's perfect for him. So it's a winning club, you know, got really good players there. Although people are saying different at this moment in time, you know, and it's a club that he loves. There's no better place probably for him to work as a person.
Frank, what about the bigger picture then? How are you left feeling tonight? Relieved that Brendan Rodgers is no longer the manager? Angry at Dermot Desmond for the statement? Backing Dermot Desmond? How are you feeling overall about everything that's happened in the last day?
First of all, I don't blame Brendan Rodgers. Dermot Desmond's right out of order. He's only a shareholder, and he came out with that statement. Heaven's all Dermot Desmond. But people forget what Brendan Rodgers brought to this club. He brought them dignity, he won them trophies. So what else can you ask for?
I think that's a good note to end on, Frank, because, you know, you can have internal disputes, there can be a breakdown in relationships, all of the above. But at least acknowledge that over 2 spells at Celtic, Brendan Rodgers was a very good Celtic manager and won plenty of trophies and brought distinction to the club. This almost witch hunt against Brendan Rodgers, I find an unedifying sight.
And there we go. That might just about wrap that up. Thank you to Frank, because it's onwards to Falkirk tomorrow. Mm. And some huge games across the
board. And I'll tell you, if you're Falkirk after your good result of the weekend, I think you'd be quite looking forward to going to Celtic Park tomorrow night. I think I'll be
until the game starts.
Look, Celtic aren't a good place on the pitch. They're very, very poor. You just wonder if Martin O'Neill, with that excitement that'll go about Celtic Park tomorrow, will lift the place.
Callum McGregor scored a terrific goal at Tynecastle, a reminder of what Celtic used to look like. But Celtic don't score. Score enough. And that's why Falkirk do have a chance tomorrow night.
Yeah, Martin O'Neill speaking today about having to create more chances. It's easier said than done, I guess.
They just need more energy, Celtic. It's one thing that their performances have looked, it's been flat at times. I just think they need more energy throughout the whole team. And one thing that Martin O'Neill will bring is definitely that. And listen, the rest of it will take care of itself. They're good players going for a slump. They've lost their manager, so the best way to go out and react tomorrow is to show the supporters that, you know, they're going to turn this around is by winning the game of football.
If I see Yang out on that pitch...
Come on, Yang. You're getting a message from me straight away.
I'll know that you
Yang hat-trick incoming.
With this.
What a day. In fact, it's not even a full day. 22 hours. Brendan Rodgers has resigned. Dermot Desmond has filleted him. And Martin O'Neill is back in the dugout with Sean Maloney. Scottish football is unrivaled when it comes to drama and excitement. Thank you very much to everyone who listened this evening. And of course, we're live streaming the show now, and I can see that quite a lot of you tuned in tonight. It was obviously a big deal for Scottish football this evening. So we'll do it again tomorrow, and a massive game. Danny Roll takes charge of Rangers again at Easter Road, no less. What a fixture that is. But it's getting bumped down the pecking order because of the madness at Celtic. What will tomorrow bring? The search for a new manager is on as well. Rest up, because we'll need it to go again from 6 o'clock tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.